aka Queen.
And you are listening to Makeup,
Breakup,
and Martinis.
Cheers.
And today we have special guest Jay from Altino Shade. Say hey, Jay.
What up? What's going on, everybody?
Hey. So tell us about your podcast.
Altino Shade Podcast. It's an amazing podcast. First of all, thank you for having us on.
Yes.
Having me on representing the rest of the crew. So Altino Shade, every Wednesday, a new episode. We talk about politics. We talk about pop culture. We talk about movies. We talk about music. We talk about your mama. We talk about your daddy. Pretty much anything that's out there.
Not my mama.
Not your mama. Not your mama.
Right.
Not your mama.
Just making sure.
Not your mama. I don't know your mama. But we have a good time. And that's it, man. So we're Tampa based and we have a good time and we just keep on pumping out content.
Nice.
Yes, definitely check them out. And how we always start off is with a mixer question.
Okay.
All right. Today's mixer question is, do you remember the best sex you ever had? Ooh. And if so, what happened to them?
Oh, my God.
Oh, the best sex I ever had. Yeah, I do remember the best sex I ever had. I was back in Virginia.
All right.
This young lady came. She actually was long distance. She came down from long distance.
Oh.
And she just... I don't want to get too graphic,
yeah.
But let's just say that at that time I was 23, 24,
okay.
And she was an older woman. And so I hadn't really been with an older woman, so she was more experienced.
She was experienced, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so she was more experienced. So she was doing things that I had not experienced yet.
Gotcha.
She taught you how to be a man.
I don't want to say something about
that. She got you some skills. She upgraded your skills.
Upgraded my skills and told me what is okay sexually. Because sometimes in the bedroom, you don't
really know.
You don't really know. You don't know yourself. You're still learning. You're still growing. So when someone can show you that, it's an amazing thing.
Right. So why didn't you guys work out?
Because in my 20s, I was a jackass. I wasn't material.
Right.
I wasn't
boyfriend material.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I think in your 20s, that's kind of where most guys are. I can't speak for women.
Yeah.
But most guys in our 20s, we just aren't relationship material, you know?
I do recall mine. And, I mean, I remember watching a movie. I think it was Bridesmaid movie? And they had a part where they talked about you don't marry the best sex guy.
Yes.
You know, because the best sex guy is like in prison or something like that.
What,
like,
the black movie?
No, Bridesmaids. You don't remember Bridesmaids where they had... It's a good
movie. That's a chick flick.
Maybe, I don't know if it was Bridesmaids. I don't know if it was... It was
but
some movie.
There's a movie and that said that. About it. You can't marry the
You
best
shouldn't
sex.
Be with your... And that's really what it is. It was like, you know, best sex guy isn't the best relationship guy.
But maybe it can be though. You don't think so?
No.
You never found it. Neither one of you have found.
Can you find best sex and great partner in one? That's a challenge.
That is a challenge.
Because some of these guys know that they're good, and so they're like, I could just hop around.
I don't know. Like, maybe the one is more like it's more romantic and it's more. It's not like
more intimate. Yeah.
Like the one, but
it's not the choking kind.
Right,
not the choking kind.
Yes.
How did that even get started? I feel like choking all of a sudden just went from like being non-existent to being like in prime time. Everybody wants to choke.
You know what's funny? All right, so the best sex I've ever had, and I have family I just found out that listens to this. But
baby, are you grown ass woman?
But it was very interesting because he was an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he grabbed my neck. He didn't choke me, but he grabbed my neck. And I was like, oh, my God, he's about to choke me. But he didn't. And it felt more like
adrenaline
passionate.
Rush.
Yeah.
I think they get it from the porn.
I think the porn is a huge
thing.
I think, like, after it was all said and done, he was the very first person I ever thought, like, how many people have you slept with before?
Because you were my partner.
Because you're really good.
You should learn, though. You should learn, I think.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so what happened to him is I had to call it off because I knew it was
too
dangerous.
Good.
Yeah, it was
dangerous.
Too good.
You
it was
getting,
dangerous.
You were getting dickmatized.
It was going there.
That can be a good thing, though. I mean, I think there are some women out there who are really good sexually, and if you can find the right person that... I think it is a challenge, though, like you said, to find it in a complete package, but... Can't you build sexual chemistry, though? Can't you build that? If someone's not the best, but they're okay, can
I need
you teach
to,
somebody?
I think I need to develop patience. So that, I think that's
there's
something.
There's some people that want to teach, and there's some, like you said, some people don't have the patience to be
a
teacher.
I just read a report that said that most women can't climax from penetration. you have to get it from clitoral stimulation. So can you teach a man how to find that spot?
I think a woman would have to know herself to be able to teach.
100% on that.
Hey, grab my neck like this.
I'll be honest. I am scared to grab necks. Gently?
Gently.
Like, I don't know my own strength sometimes.
Oh, you be choking her out.
Are you okay? You all right?
You breathing?
Oh, she ain't moving.
Oh, my gosh. I think you have to wait for a person to ask for it too, though, because if you catch them off guard, that could be a problem because some people aren't into that. Like,
is choking still freaky though?
It is. I think some people aren't into that. I mean, some people.
And how do you even ask, baby? Can I choke you?
No, it's not that.
You can't ask.
You have to see where they're going sexually, where it's going sexually. So if you see they're taking it to the next level, then you take it to the next level, and then you build up to that, and you're like, okay, she liked this, so then I can probably try this, and she'll be okay with it. So
maybe that's what he was doing. It was the first level.
He was
like, next time.
Next time.
And then you cut him off.
Next thing, it's bondage. She don't even know what that is. I'm so sorry.
She better. Maybe she's a gray.
I know, right?
I know what that is.
Okay.
All right, so today's topic is vulnerability.
That's a good topic.
Yes, this is my favorite. All right, so...
Which is a crazy segue.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, technically, vulnerability plays a factor in that, though.
Yeah. Like,
you have to be vulnerable enough to trust that this person ain't going to hurt you.
That's true. There you go. Okay. All right. Put it together. Thank you.
All right. So the first question is there a time frame from when you meet someone when you can start opening up to that person?
I'm one of the people that kind of hate time frames, but I used to be one of the people that like time frames. What I mean is, like, I know, like, I wouldn't do stuff until a certain thing happened, right? It's like, I don't want to be exclusive until 3 months. You dated for 3 months. I don't want to be in a relationship until 5-6 months. I had this time frame thing.
Hold on. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What age is this time frame?
What age?
Or what age did you get over the time frame?
Honestly, I didn't get over it until this year.
Oh my gosh.
I literally, that's how I dated. Like, I would go on dates. If I liked someone, I was like, you know what? I'm not moving fast. I'm going to take my time. I need at least 3 months before I make any decision. What I've learned is when you find the right person, that time frame does not matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
Because you just like, this person, I just feel good around this person.
Right.
But I don't think you can find love not being vulnerable. And so when opening up all this year, I've decided that I'm going to be me from the jump. And I'm going to say how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say I want to see you. I'm going to say when I'm going to see you again. I'm going to text you first without worrying about you texting me. Because how can you find love if you don't do that?
That's where I'm at. That's why I wanted to do this topic so bad. Because my next question is, like, is being vulnerable too early showing your cards? Because I get that a lot. Like, I'll say things and I'll do things and I'll tell other people. And I'm like, oh, but you're showing all your cards right away. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's all or nothing. And either you accept it or you don't. And it's not like I'm saying I love you, but I'm just telling
but
you
how
I'm feeling.
But it's kind of pretty close. And I think it is
not close to I love you. It's not.
This is the person that is not, like, I'm not the most affectionate person. But I think there is a buildup. So you have to make sure and be ready that the person is really into you before you start pouring your heart out.
But can't you be vulnerable and be open without pouring your heart out, though? Like, let's say, for example, you like someone, and instead of not telling them that you don't like them, you say, you know what, I really like you. That's a step of being vulnerable because you don't know how they're going to react to that.
You know what's funny is I actually had that happen to me Friday. This guy came up to me and he's like, I saw you walk into this bar and you're gorgeous. I had to talk to you and I really want to see you again. And I was thinking, I was like, he's being vulnerable right now. And I would be really receptive to it if I was attracted to him, but I wasn't.
If I was attracted to him.
But I mean,
at the same time.
The same time, we're not wasting time. Like, he's telling me up front what he wants. I see it. It was a no-go. But if I was accepted, if he was attractive and we clicked, then it would have gone somewhere, and I like that openness.
I feel like maybe it's more of a guy's responsibility to be more vulnerable in the beginning to make sure.
Which sucks, by the way.
Right, but to let you know that, hey, I'm into you, I'm pursuing you. But as far as women go, I feel maybe we tend to be more reserved because we can be hurt more.
I think we all can be hurt equally.
Right.
And I think from my perspective as a man, having to be the ones, one, we gotta deal with being vulnerable.
Right.
And we have to be able to deal with rejection.
Right. But you guys do it all the time. And I don't think we experience it that much.
That's why women don't shoot y'all, don't shoot y'all shots.
At all.
You shoot your shot and you get shot down one time, you're like, well, fuck this. I ain't doing this again.
Right.
And I think that's why I'm afraid to be vulnerable, because I don't want to be, you know, shot down. And I think that's why we should reserve ourselves to be sure that the guy is into us.
And it's funny because I think it's all about like how you grew up, it's experience, and it's with an age too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then once you meet those three criterias, then you're like, you know what? F it. I'm just opening up. I am who I am. And either you accept me or you don't.
Yeah. I think most people after the age of, how old are y'all two? Got over 30, right?
I'm 34.
Okay. So I'm 37.
29.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
See, there. I'm at the crest.
What I was about to say is most people that are over 30, they pretty much know exactly who they are, mm-hmm. right? It's like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't mind changing, but I've worked hard to get to where I'm at. And so here's who I'm putting my cards on the table.
Right.
Either you're going to like me or you're not. And that's kind of where I've been the last 2 years is like, I've worked hard to become the man that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to pretend to be anything that I'm not. Here's who I am. And for the longest time, I had a hard time finding women that would date me because I'm not Christian. And I'm very happy about my spiritual journey. But in the Black community, a lot of Black women are Christian and believe in that. And they won't date someone who's not. So I've gone on a lot of dates and having to be open and honest, like I'll support your journey, but that's not me. And getting shot down all the time. So that's part of...
So that's a vulnerability. And do you do that right away or do you...
If the conversation comes up, because I also don't want to... I don't believe in wasting people's time.
Right.
Right. Like time is the most valuable commodity that we have that we don't get anything back for, really. Right.
Right.
And so if someone asks me, I'm going to tell them. Like if they ask me what's your religious belief, I'm not going to sit there and pretend. Like I've been that guy in the 20s pretending that I was still a Christian because I didn't want to be the different guy, you know, but so I tell them I'm being open and honest and be prepared for the potential rejection of saying, oh, well, I can't date you, which has happened plenty of times. And I think women have to be more vulnerable too in certain regards. If you really like someone, like how do you, I don't know.
Well, I think that is one of those big milestones not milestones, but cornerstones in a person's, of finding their spouse, religion, and, you know.
Yeah, it's the top. Like, if you were to make a list of somebody, I know what women you want, would
that would be. Religion. Would you say you've had to date outside of your race because of it, or it's just, I mean.
I honestly have not dated outside my race since I was, like, 22, 23. And I'm not one of the people, like, I believe that love has no color. And, like, right. I think you should find love however you want.
But you're attracted to what you're
personally,
attracted to.
But me, I always had this vision of having a Black family, a Black wife and Black kids and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I've tried to stick to that. But I did start dating outside of my race within the last 3 years. Because if you want love and what you're doing is not working,
you gotta try
something different.
Right.
And trust me, I got a lot of blowback on doing that. But you gotta do what's best for yourself.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with just experimenting and like going outside of your race and just seeing what works for you and what doesn't.
So. When's the last time you two would say that you have been vulnerable in dating?
Since I hit 30.
Yeah. For the last 4 years.
You know what it is? It's just, so I was in a relationship all through my 20s and it was where I had to be private because I don't know, women, it was kind of like you just kept everything to yourself. And if there was trouble, like you had to handle it. And so when I left that relationship, I was thinking, you know what? I need to express myself more. I don't. I hold back. I just go for how my partner's feeling and I worry about them, but I don't express how I feel. And so when I feel like 30 is a great year because you start knowing who you are. And so I was like, I'm just, when I start dating, I'm going to say exactly how I feel. And I never have that that perceptive in my mind where it's like, you should have said this, or you could have done this. It's just, I say and I do how I feel, and I have no regrets.
So you're not reserved at all, though? And I know we had a conversation the other day. And you were kind of like, put it out there, kind of, you know, but I was like, I think sometimes you got to be a little reserved.
A little bit reserved. All right, so you know what? It was funny. So I told my best friend this story the other day, and I guess I'm going to have to say the story.
Tell it.
So I met this guy, and so what happened was I saw him dancing with another girl, and as soon as he came up to me, I said my heart dropped. And so everybody tells me you're showing your cards too soon. You were just too open. Like, he shouldn't know. So I'm telling one of my best friends, who's a guy, and I'm telling the whole story. And I was like, I'm ready for you to stop me at one point. And he doesn't. He said, I think you messed up. He's like, and I said, well, what about this part? I said that my heart dropped when I saw you dancing with another girl. And he said, that's you being you. And I know you. And either somebody's going to accept you for who you are or not. But let's go to the next topic.
All right, cool.
All right. So is vulnerability a sign of weakness?
I think vulnerability is a sign of strength.
Right. I think so too.
Absolutely. It is. It's a sign of strength. So because vulnerability is part of you showing your emotions, right? And most people are afraid to show their emotions because they think it's a weak thing to show. But when you can balance your emotions, you are actually a
well-balanced person,
a very strong person. So vulnerability is not a weakness. It takes strength to put your cards on the table, to wear your heart in your sleeve, to say, here I am, world, come in, attack me or love me, you know?
I think for me, I have to wait until I can trust that person, whether it be friendship or relationship. I can be vulnerable, but it takes a lot of time.
So you make people earn that trust. You
don't give trust. See, I give and, trust. Right. And I think a lot of people, I don't know how people feel about me, but they may feel like I'm not as warm, but it really is just going through past experiences where being vulnerable up front has backfired. It just is. It's an experience where I will have to wait until I can.
And I feel like a lot of people have that nowadays. Like, a lot of people have been hurt, so they put this wall up. And so it's really hard to read and tackle into another person now, because
here's my thing. It's a good question for both of you. Can you control what other people do?
No.
All right. So if you can't control what other people do, shouldn't you always just remain true to yourself? Say, well, I'm going to be vulnerable. And because they can love you one moment.
Right.
And not love you the next.
Right.
So you can't control how they're going to feel, how they're going to react. And so you should just always just say, you know what? I got to take a chance on finding love. And knowing to find love, I got to be vulnerable. So why not just be open about it from the jump?
I think, and I'm working on myself. But
she is. I'm very proud of her.
I've grown.
I've grown. She's taking baby steps. You can tell she's almost 30.
That 30 is a big number. Let me tell you, my 30s have been great, though. I love my 30s.
I've heard that, too, 30s. Though. I've heard that. Someone's
my
like,
mom told me, I love it.
And I'm almost there, a couple months away. But I want control. So if I do. So the way of controlling a situation is blocking it out. So if someone's not responding the way that I want in a relationship, then I will just shut down and then block, which is not good. I think it's to protect my vulnerability and to protect my heart. And so it's not good.
So y'all are actually on opposite ends.
Right.
She's open.
You're on the end of being too close.
That's why we
have
this podcast. Yeah. Her and I are opposite on
polar everything. Opposites. And
on dating.
Yeah.
And so somewhere in the middle is where it needs to be. For
exactly.
Both of you.
Yeah. So like, she's influencing me, which I don't like because I'm becoming more vulnerable. And
five people got blocked because of her.
High five.
Who got blocked? You blocked five people?
Yes. Because I'm like, you need to block because it's going to cut it out. But I'm like, we influence each other. But that's my way of control. So I can't control what a person does. Mm-hmm. But I can block you so that I don't see or be like, I'm not hurt.
You're a block.
I am a block queen. Oh, but goodness. I'm learning how to be better. I mean, you don't block. Mm-hmm. Have you ever blocked anybody?
I've blocked maybe three people.
But you don't feel like it's necessary to block. That's like Nicole. She's like, she doesn't feel like it's necessary
to
block.
Out of sight, out of mind. Once I unfriend you, I'm not going to keep checking on you. You know what I mean?
Are you talking about friend? I don't even have to unfriend you.
Oh, no, I'll unfriend you. Like, I don't want to see
you. Are you talking about, like, girls that you've dated, or are you just talking about in people?
Women that I've dated, or women, or just people in general. I don't think I've ever dated. I don't think I've ever blocked anyone.
That you've dated. That
I've dated. Once we're breaking up, like,
it's no hard feelings, or no.
I try my best not to have hard feelings because, again, everyone that you go on dates with is not meant to be your husband.
Why?
Meant to be your wife, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are meant to just be for that moment.
Right.
Some people are just meant to be good friends. But I think a lot of times we are so lonely, or that we want affection, that we force people to be things that they're not.
Yeah.
And so when things don't work out, I just say, hey, it was a great time. It didn't work out. Thank you. And I move on. But I don't mean I want to see all your comments and
so
stuff.
So you unfollow.
Yeah, I unfollow. Because then you're talking shit. Like,
yeah.
I need me a real man who do that. I'm like,
unfollow.
Unfollow.
Unfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I'm just the only one that blocks everybody.
I know people that got a block finger. They may block everything. So
that's my way of control. I know I can't control everything, but if I can take it out of my...
Are y'all very controlling? Are you in your relationships? Y'all try to control certain aspects as well?
I don't. I know that for a fact. I'm not.
Do you think you should take some control, though? The only thing I
control is this podcast.
I think it's going to be something else.
So you're about to say these outlines for this podcast, I control it.
Like this. What are you about to say? That I have to edit out.
Don't edit it. Let it be in there. I control what it is.
I'm not controlling. I think with age, I've gotten more stern on what I want. I think I would be more controlling, or more like...
I can't see you as controlling.
Not control. No, actually, you know, the thing about it is, I'm very gentle in every other aspect of my life, but in relationships or like dating, I can be like the type of person that's like, I want my way or the highway.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I need to learn.
A balance. Everything's balance.
I don't have a balance because I'm really like, okay, it's not going my way, then I'm out.
All right. So music nowadays has such an impact, and it's more like about being savage and not vulnerable. Mm. It's not more of the R&B, like, tell me what you want.
Oh, look at you.
Tell me what you need.
Yes.
That's a great song. That was a great song. You just surprised her right there.
I know, right?
Song. She always sings and I know.
I know.
Where was that one last week? On
I know, right?
I told you I have to be in Freeze control.
You know, that is true. And I think that's why I kind of stick to my like 90s, 80s / 70s music.
But you're not vulnerable.
I'm not vulnerable, but I want to be for the right person. And I think that's the problem. So if I see that it's not headed in the right direction, I cut it off really early, which is bad because maybe it can change. And maybe if I've communicated more, it can turn into the person that I want to be. But I have a vision of what I want. And I'm thinking of that 80s, 90s kind of vibe and love.
Yeah,
and
it's because they express their feelings.
They talk about it.
And that's why what we gravitated and what we loved about that music. But now it's about like Rihanna being a savage, and it's creating walls up. Like, you hurt me, so now I got to put this wall up with you.
I think part of that is that women are more today allowed to be more sexually free and not have the stigma of being a hoe or whatnot. I mean, it still exists, don't get me wrong,
right,
but I don't think to the same extent. So I think you just see women being more sexually free, trying to empower that aspect of the sexuality, which I don't have a problem with it. But you're right. The songs these days don't talk about feelings or the whole excitement of meeting somebody.
Coming
back though, like if you listen to certain artists like Daniel Caesar,
you put me on that one song. Oh yeah, my gosh,
it's great.
I gotta go through his catalog, Lord.
Yeah, I mean it's a lot of good people that are bringing it back. I think
they're
part of that is teaching.
You know what's hard is that they don't get enough radio play.
Yeah, you gotta search for it. That's true.
So I've made a slow jams Pandora station.
Okay.
And don't ask why, but
just in case,
but it was crazy the songs that were coming up, because it was like Chris Brown, like, F you back to sleep, and like.
That was a good one, though.
But that's not a love song. That's not a love song. That's not like Luther, you know, let me hold you tight.
Turn off the light.
Teddy! It's not like talking about romance.
That
like,
generation's done for
exactly.
Sure,
and that's where I want to be, where it's like there's that whole romance factor, and now you're listening to a slow jam station of like just hit it and put you back to sleep. I think that's where.
I think part of that is that these artists.
Girl got a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Maybe these artists don't have the people to look up to for that, though, right?
I'm going to go on Chris Brown. Chris Brown is talented and he knows.
He's
and
from
he,
where I'm from.
Yeah. Yeah, and he samples a lot of the older artists, so he knows better. But I think generationally, to keep up, they play or make music that is just sex based.
But songs have always been very sexually explicit. They just disguised it differently.
I appreciate the effort to make it sound like, you know, covert, and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, this was sex, you know. But I think that does play a part where women are less vulnerable because they listen to these songs that are like, oh, I can just fuck a guy and or SZA, which I love. But, you know, I'm going to be the chick on the weekend, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have a whole relationship. So it's like, oh, okay, I can be.
It's definitely different. I can tell you that. It's definitely different. Women are dating differently. I've seen a major shift.
I mean, I feel like men and women. Well, I don't know. Men are dating the same.
I think men still date the same way. I think men still date the multiple people like they always dated until they find that one. And I think now that I know women are dating multiple men as well now until they find the one. And so, which is nothing wrong with that, but it's not typically what you see from the demographic of women. Typically women date one person only. They go and see what it's all about. I'm not focused on anyone else.
So my question is, how does that work? If you date multiple people at a time, how do you narrow it down to one person? Because I haven't figured that out. Like, how do you out of a group that the right person is there? Like, choose one person.
For me, I feel like the one that really wants you is going to do more
over
things.
And beyond.
Right? It's like, so I've never been one of those guys that dated like four or five women. That's never been my thing. So for me, when I say multiple dates, it's like one or two women, right? Mm-hmm. And I go out with whomever, whenever, mm-hmm. and whoever I'm feeling or feeling me, they're gonna let you know, or they're gonna slide back.
Right.
And so I think it becomes
someone
harder
will present themselves
when you are unsure about yourself or what you want, so you can't make a decision. You're like stuck.
Yeah.
You know, but when you know exactly what you want and that person that you're dating giving that to you, then you make that decision.
And narrow it down. That narrows it down.
Yeah. And that probably ghosts other person because people don't want to have real conversations about moving on. But I don't know. But this year I didn't date multiple people. I've tried to date only one person at a time. Mm. And it's been quite interesting.
In a good way or a bad way?
I wouldn't say a bad way. I try not to see dating as anything bad. I would just say that I haven't seen a big difference between dating multiple people and dating one person. Because at the end of the day, you still got to find someone who is ready to date and commit, right? And you got to find someone who want to take a chance on you. And whether you find one person or you dating three people, mm-hmm. if you don't find somebody who's ready to take a chance, it ain't going to matter what you do,
right?
You know?
Do you feel like you've been vulnerable in that every instance of trying to date this year? Or
I've been vulnerable with every person that I had a good feeling about.
Okay.
Like, I'm not being vulnerable with just random ass people. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But if I go on a date and the energy feels good, and I'm like, I don't hold back. I'm like, look, I like you. I'm feeling you. When can I see you again? Like, I don't believe in playing games. If I want to talk to you, I'm going to call you. If I want to text you, I'm going to text you. Like, why do I got to wait to see? Like, if I met you at the bar on a Thursday and you give me your number, I'm probably going to call you later that night or text you that night. But, yo, it was good to meet you, et cetera, et cetera.
But that's what I like. Like, a guy that's going to just say, I really, really like you. So do you feel like if I were to meet a guy and he didn't text right away or he was, you know, active on social media but not texting, is he not into you, or does that mean?
I believe that people I think Nicole said the other day, when people make time for the things they want, right?
Right.
And so if I'm really feeling you and you text me, why do I need to take 24 hours to respond? Why do I need a few hours later?
Thank you.
Like, it's about I think people are playing games. And if I...
So that's a sign of game.
Yeah.
If somebody's not texting you right back.
God honest truth. If it's a brand new situation, I'm dating someone, if I text you on a Monday and I don't hear from you till the next day, I'm probably cutting your ass off.
There you go, ladies.
I ain't blocking.
But I'm cutting you off. But
I'm going to give you the same shit you're giving me.
Right.
So if you text me 24 hours the next day, I'm not responding
for the 24 hours later.
Day. And then that creates a pattern of being a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
The distance is not going to work.
And then
I just believe you should start everything the way you want to receive it.
Exactly.
That was a message.
amen.
Yes. Let the church say.
All right. Do people not open up because they are afraid of what they might expose could be used against them?
Do people not open up because they are afraid what was the question? Sorry.
Of what they expose could be used against them.
Well, I feel like that is part of why I hold out on being vulnerable, because I want to make sure that I can trust you and that you're, you know, as vulnerable, as open to me, and then I can share with you, because I've been in that place, and that's why I feel like I've been through things where you tell the wrong person and they can't handle it, or they leave me.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So it takes time to, I think you are going to have to work up to certain things. But if you are a person to use it against me, I promise you, we're done.
But you can't see that right away, though. You're never going to see that right away. Because people bring their representatives in the beginning, and they're going to show their best colors. And so...
And that's right. It could be. But either you take that chance or you don't.
And I don't.
I do think people are probably afraid that people are going to use what they say or the vulnerability against them. But you can't live in fear, though.
Right, you can't
live in fear. And so, that's something that I'm actually struggling with now with this young lady I'm dating, who I adore, right? Mm-hmm. But she is not currently really vulnerable, and she doesn't really express herself.
Mm.
And I'm in a space where I'm like, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing.
Is she younger or?
33.
Okay.
But she's just not great at expressing herself. But I know that.
I work
with her. So when you find somebody that you really like,
yeah,
I feel like you say, okay, well, I'm not gonna cut this person off because I know this is something that she struggles with.
I actually had a friendship and it was like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell her everything about me, but I told her enough to where it was like,
you should be able to
you should be comfortable enough, because I'm giving you some gems. And you can give me some back whenever I had your own time. But she never did. And we were friends for 5 years.
Yeah.
And she never opened up to me. At the very end, I was like, you know, a relationship with you is like reading a book and there's no plot to the story. And I have to cut this relationship off.
But some people don't know how to do that. Some people don't know how to express themselves. And so I would say, if you really care for the friend, is that you have to be able to communicate that and be like, look, this friendship, in order for us to work, you're like, you don't express yourself. And I see you over there built up, fist clenched, stressed out.
I give three chances. I give everybody three chances. Tell you once, I'll tell you twice, and third time, and then we're done.
Yeah.
So what I will say is, like you said, you're the person that you're interested in, with her having difficulty with expressing herself. I know for me, I had to become comfortable with myself and have closure and with a lot of situations to where I'm comfortable to discuss it.
Yeah.
So that's something that may be her hang up, where she doesn't have closure and she needs
to. Have you guys had a conversation?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
All the time.
But I do understand that point of, okay, I'm not ready to open up because I haven't really dealt with it or whatever it is.
So what she'll do is I'll be trying to have a conversation about something that's going on, but she doesn't want to talk about it. So I'm like...
She shuts down.
Yeah, but so she gets off the phone, but then she'll text it. And so what I have to learn, because I'm a listener,
really?
It's like, cause in my mind, I'm like, I don't want this text.
Yeah.
I don't want this text. I want you to say it to my face, Because I don't want to develop a relationship that we have a texting relationship on serious topics.
Right.
But in her mind, she's like, well, this is me being vulnerable, saying mm-hmm. what's really going on. So that's, what's the middle of ground?
That's baby steps for her.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that until we had a conversation about it. I was like, ah, she's right.
I have a friend like that. She told me that she's afraid to say things. So yeah. she'll text it. She's more like bold in texting. And then when she gets in person, she's afraid. And I think a lot of people are at that level.
Well, yeah, it's funny right. because it's like, social media, it's text messages. We're using it as a tool. Like, absolutely. Okay, I don't have to say it in front of your face. I can just absolutely. Text you how I feel. And I
won't which is it. Like a handicap because
it is
like,
a handicap.
Like, you got to be able to tell me. And that's something that I think... You're doing a good job of trying to, like, you yeah. know, get it out of her and, like, be okay. patient. Yeah. With right.
You know what helps?
What?
Alcohol.
Every time. Every time.
But I think that is something that a lot of, like, younger people are afraid.
Struggling with.
They're struggling with. They're afraid to actually talk about it. They can text. They can, you know, post something on Facebook or something. But right. they
there's
can't
no
talk
emotions,
about it.
Emotions, though. There's no emotion in a text.
In a text.
So when I'm in person, when someone's saying stuff, you can see in their eyes how they feel. And
people are afraid of that because yeah, that's vulnerability.
Vulnerability.
Boom.
Vulnerability.
People are afraid to show that vulnerability yeah. of like, okay, this is how I really feel. And so texting is like, oh, I can get out of the vulnerability. I can just put it in words. And I think in a relationship and building something, it is necessary to say, communicate with me. Let's build this communication relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much. It's so funny that we're talking about this because I was telling Tana, like, I had this. It was like a slight feud with one of my best guy friends, and I went to his house and it was his birthday. And
old school. He's like, I'm gonna show up.
And I showed up to his house for his birthday and I brought him a bottle of champagne. And we celebrated, but I told him exactly how I felt mm-hmm. about a situation. And he gave me this look in his eyes. Like, I left his house and I felt really bad because we didn't leave on good terms. Mm-hmm. But that look in his eyes was everything that I was like, I know he loves me. And as soon as I left, he texted me and he's like, I'm really sorry. He's like, And I was like,
I think that's what we're
I
losing.
I almost cried. Yeah,
absolutely.
We're losing that connection. I'm just that person that you have to be face to face and you have to be real with somebody.
Right, right. And I think a lot of people are, I mean, we're losing that. It's like,
And I think it's because, like, women, we're losing it because we don't see it enough from men. And we need both parties to.
But here's the thing, though. Like, I agree that women need to see it from men. But. Men aren't taught at all
right.
to be vulnerable, how to show emotions. And so what needs to happen is, and it sucks, and I hate to put this pressure on women, but y'all have to help create safe spaces for men to step into to show themselves the vulnerability.
So what is a safe space? Explain that.
I mean, a safe space can be just like you did, like have a conversation with your friends. Like, when you did that, that's a step showing him and saying, look, I'm being vulnerable showing you, but I need you to do the same thing. And so when a man comes up to you, whether it's a relationship or a friendship, and if you see tears in his eyes
yeah.
or whatever it may be, because it could be a serious topic. If there's a little bit of tear, don't shame him in it. Don't mm-hmm. shame him.
Yes.
You got to applaud him. You got to be like,
right, it's love.
It is hard because I think women kind of shame men. I know I've...
Absolutely.
Like, who cry and who are vulnerable.
Absolutely.
I know I've done it because I've done it.
So then, man, that man who's trying to show you
emotion.
That emotion is now going to shut back down because you just shamed him for showing an emotion that is part of who he is. So
that.
Men don't really have the same space to be vulnerable. But it's not only on women to do that. It's on men to take ownership of their own vulnerability too, right?
Right.
We got to do that too. So.
Oh, no. That's perfect segue. My last one.
Hey.
All right. Bringing up vulnerability, men, and pride. Let's talk about it.
Well, okay. I think we were in a good space where it was like, I think men do have pride, but if they feel comfortable to open up, then they will. They'll do it more. And if they know that it's a safe space, then...
It's not easy, man. Like, I try to learn from every prior relationship, right? And in my last relationship, when I was struggling financially, and I can tell majority of men, when that money is funny, you're going to have some stress in your relationship. But we are so brainwashed to thinking that we aren't shit unless we making money. Mm-hmm. So when our money's funny, we're stressed out. And I learned in my last relationship that when I was going through financial issues, I was just quiet, you know? And so, but in my mind, my safe space was my woman. And so when I spent time with her, I didn't want to talk about anything. I just wanted to be beside her. But for her, she wanted to talk about what was going on. She wanted to help me. I'm just like, baby, all I need for you is just to be by my side.
So you said that.
I did.
Okay.
But that's not always enough. Because I wasn't being vulnerable. Because vulnerability would have been saying, look, I'm not happy with my job. I'm not making enough money to pay my bills. I'm taking care of my mom. I'm struggling to pay my electric bill. My car note's behind. You know what I mean? Like, because now we are tied to our finances. And so society says, and a lot of women say, well, if you don't make a certain amount of money, you ain't shit. Mm-hmm. You know? So now it's like, how? I got to show her that I'm struggling financially. You know what I mean?
So I think for women, because sometimes we're like, we want to come in and help. If you're open and you tell us, okay, this is what I'm struggling with. Mm-hmm. She's going to be like, okay, we can come up with a plan together.
Right.
Whereas when you shut down and you don't say anything, she doesn't know how to help.
Right.
Absolutely.
So
right.
That's part of the problem. But at the same time, it is okay. Or it is true. Like if Amanda says, listen, I can't talk right now. We got to step back and be like, all right, I'm going to just be here mm-hmm. whenever you're ready. So,
absolutely.
But there's two sides of the coin. I think women want to be like, okay, what is it? So that I can come through.
We want to be like mm-hmm. Wonder Woman.
Yeah, like, okay, what's wrong?
Yeah. We really do.
I'm going to hold it down.
Nurturers. They're
nurturers. Nurturers by nature. Yeah. So it's like, okay, if there's something wrong, tell me so that I can help fix it. So I think that's part of it.
Right, we're trying to, it's kind of building a union. Mm-hmm. Like, you're trying to.
But then we're like.
The way y'all have y'all pride.
The way we do have, we have pride, but the pride has been built up from over all the years.
Pride and responsibility. Like, I think it's just something that's naturally like, you got to take care of it all. Don't.
We've been taught to take care of everything. And then you add the fact that you've been taught that. And if you've been single for a long time, all you know how to do is take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the same thing with women. Like, how many women have been single for so long, and a man's like, yo, let me come over and cut your grass. And you're like, no, I got it.
Yeah.
Like, well, no.
Yeah.
You need to let me do it, but you've just been doing it for so long. That's what you're used to.
Yeah.
You
know? Right. I know with me, like on a date, I'd be like, I got it. Don't worry about it. I'll pay.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. The line, I know about.
I mean, vulnerability is not
It's not easy.
All right. So, Jay, talking to the men, whoever's listening, vulnerability, what would you have to say to them?
I would say to the men who are listening that if there's a woman in your life that you really like, that you really appreciate and adore, then you owe it to your relationship and to yourself to take that chance on vulnerability, because women are more used to being emotional and understanding. And so just take a chance. Don't be afraid of it. And if she don't give you if she doesn't create a safe space for you to be vulnerable, then she ain't the one for you.
Awesome. Right?
So,
I love it.
Can I ask y'all a question?
Yes. Yeah.
So, from a female, well, I don't like saying female, from a woman perspective,
mm-hmm.
do you think being submissive is a vulnerability for women that you struggle with?
That's a great topic, because I know a couple submissive women who are like in a marriage and they've been in a long running marriage because mm-hmm. they said submissive. They've been submissive. I don't know about submissive for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in a balance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Haitian American.
To a point.
To a point. I'm Haitian American, and I know that that's what I've seen. So the wife is submissive to the husband.
Mm.
She does whatever he asks, whatever he wants. And
my mom's American, that's why. My dad's Spanish, my mom's American.
For me, that's what I've been taught, and I believe that I want to do that, but at the same time, I'm American. So it's like I have both sides of the coin, because I want to be a giving spouse, but at the same time, I want a husband that's going to support me in my dreams, because I'm not just going to be a housewife.
Home, yeah.
Right. So it's like,
I think it's to
weird.
A point.
Yeah. I want to be submissive, but at the same time, like, I want someone who's supportive of me too. Like, we're both going to be powerhouses, not just, yeah. I'm not going to be a housewife.
Right. And you can't lose yourself to a man. So you can't be all.
Which is the new era.
Make an eye contact. Trust me on that.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I think submissiveness gets a bad rap. And I think that men can be submissive too. In certain aspects, because you gotta get a little too.
Yeah, there should be an equal balance.
I think, like anything in life, we all evolve, and mm-hmm. dating has evolved as well. So right. I think it's why it frustrates me personally when I hear women say, "Where are the men that used to date from the 70s and date in the 80s?" I'm like, well.
That whole time is different.
The time is gone. Like you weren't
working in the 70s.
Yeah,
so.
Women have evolved. So why do you think that men had to pay everything?
Right.
We don't have to pay everything now. You are right. independent You're women working. And you are making as much money, if not more than
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
So, why can't we do this together?
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
And, so all the women that, not going to say all the women, but a lot of women that are saying that they want this, they want to do it, they do their own thing, or they want a man to pay all the bills, but they don't want to cook.
They don't, right.
They don't want to clean the house.
All right, so we paying and we cooking and cleaning. Everything's 50-50?
For me, I feel like this. Everyone has strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
And so, if I'm a better cook,
okay,
let me cook.
Okay, and I'm a better cleaner.
If you're a better cleaner, you're a better cleaner.
So, amen. Wait a minute.
Amen.
So, you working and cooking?
Absolutely.
And I'm working and cleaning.
Okay. You guys are both working. I'm just saying.
Like that whole
concept of like ideal, like, okay, one works, one does the other.
No, I'm not about that. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some traditional roles that still exist that are important. Like, I will never let my woman take out the trash.
Okay.
So that's just something that I'm like, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't mind taking out trash.
He's like, I didn't mind that
but
part.
I know women who don't mind cutting the grass. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ooh. But I just think there's some things.
Yeah, there's some roles.
Why force societal rules that don't work for your relationship, right?
Perfect. I love that. Build your own rules in your own.
Yeah. All right. So I do recommend if anybody, I'm sure everybody's heard the song, but John Legend, This Time, it talks about being vulnerable and showing
your
cards.
What?
I might know if I heard it. I don't.
Yeah.
Off the top of my
maybe
head,
the name.
All
right. The title. Maybe.
I'm sure you both heard it, but This Time by John Legend.
Are you gonna play it?
No. But it does talk about being vulnerable, so definitely check it out. And it's game time.
Oh, I like games.
But before we get into the games, Jay, just plug yourself in one last time.
So All Tea No Shade podcast, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We don't really tweet that much. you can email us if you have any kind of questions, alltnoshadepodcast@gmail.com. My personal information is Instagram is J_Noetic. You can find me on Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, pretty much everywhere. Yeah, that's it, man. Got a book coming out here shortly.
Yes.
That I'm excited about. I'm an author, life coach, trying to do a little bit of everything.
Noesis, right?
Noesis is the title.
I love it.
And yeah, so that's it.
Nice.
All right, awesome. So they're all Tino Shade, and of course we have to do play on words when we do games.
Okay.
All right. So are we spilling the tea or are we sipping martinis?
Let's spill the tea. Let's spill the tea while sipping some martinis.
All right. So spilling the tea is either you're going to tell somebody or just sipping martinis. You're just going
to
engulf in the gossip.
And keep it to yourself.
All right.
So we're going to give scenarios and decide if you're going to spill the tea or sip the martini.
All right. So your friend's new boo tried to talk to you in the past. Are you spilling the tea or are you sipping martinis?
Oh. How close is this friend?
It's his
new boo, huh?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to sip the tea.
You're going to sip the tea?
I'm probably going to sip the tea if it's someone who I didn't care about.
No, you meant sip
the
martini.
Tea.
Oh,
wait.
Oh.
No, you're not going to tell?
I'm not going to tell. So I'm going to sip the martini.
You're going to sip the martini.
All right.
Okay.
Martini.
I'm going to spill the tea.
I'm going to spill the tea because I just don't want there to be any awkward air. And I'm just going to say, oh, so-and-so tried to talk to me. Is that the best way to say it? I don't even know.
Or you can pull the person to the side, but like, yo, like, what happened in the past don't matter, you know, and just don't bring it up.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, what person?
The new boo.
The new boo?
Yeah.
So you're sipping the martini. I ain't saying nothing.
I ain't saying nothing. Unless it was somebody that, now, if it was something that, like, we got intimate.
Yeah, yeah, you guys. I'm like, yo, I smashed. Yeah.
Next question. You see your friend's boyfriend, girlfriend out with another person. Are you spilling the tea or are you sipping martinis?
I'm spilling the tea on that one.
I'm spilling the tea.
Because I don't want... My friends are important to me.
I'm taking a photo of you and I'm sending it out right away.
No, I might sip the martini because...
What?
No. It depends. It depends, Nicole.
Because you don't know.
No. With Nicole, I'm spilling the tea. But, okay. But at the same time, it depends on... At the same time, you don't know because that friend may not be receptive to what you're saying. And if you don't have a picture and proof, they're not going to believe you. And then it turns on you. Nicole's like, no, you better spill the tea.
You know what? I always take a picture.
I would definitely spill it. Especially, well, they just having lunch. I ain't saying nothing because you don't know if that's a friend or not. Now, if they kiss or something.
Oh, that's right. Different. If it's like different. You know for sure.
I'm going to be like, yo, tea. I don't know what's going on with your, where your girl will be at right now. Or, well, she ain't there, Negro.
So you didn't make it at her.
Yeah. All right, your homegirl tells you that her new baby might not be her husband's.
Oh, I ain't saying shit on that.
What?
Nope, I'm not getting involved.
I don't even know what to say.
I don't get involved in no marriage stuff.
No.
I'm sipping the martini.
I'm sipping the martini.
I think I'm sipping.
I'm sipping the martini. What?
If I tell you that I don't know if this might be the baby daddy, you might spill the tea on me.
I said sip martini.
Oh, okay,
I said
okay.
Sip martini. Okay, I said sip martini. Did I say tea? I didn't say tea.
And that'd be awkward. What if you're best friends with? What if you're friends with both of them?
Right.
But I guess it comes down to who you know.
And if she's not sure, and then it turns out to be him, I'm not being I'm sipping.
Sipping the martini.
I'm sipping.
All right. All right, last question. Your significant other asks if they are the best you ever had. You like how we did that?
I think I have spilled the tea and told the truth, which was not
a good... I'm sipping the martini.
Well, if you sip the martini, they know you're lying.
No, you can tell them in a way that they... They don't have to know.
Yeah, I'm probably going to sip the martini.
You're going to sip... I've spilled the tea before. And I was like, well...
Really?
Which is a bad idea. Yeah. I do.
Male ego gone.
I mean, don't ask if you don't want to know.
Exactly. I don't ask that question. I just assume I'm the best.
Right.
All right, thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you.
Please follow him at All Tea No Shade Podcast. And definitely listen and support Tampa Bay Podcast. Thank you for listening to Makeup Breakups and Martinis. Follow us on Instagram. If you have any topics you'd like to discuss or feedback, you can comment below, email, or DM us at Makeup Breakups and Martinis. And please subscribe to our podcast to stay updated to our next episode. Cheers, guys!
Cheers!
Thank you!